Hi, this is Lynn Pierce, and today we're talking to Dr. Fern Caslow, known as Dr. K. She's the founder of the No Doubt Zone and the go-to mentor for the top 1% entrepreneurs and experts. An innovator and disruptor, she opened one of the first integrative health and business centers in New York City and grew it from a two-person office to a 12-person enterprise in just 10 months. Dr. K says the power is within you. You get to choose if you live in the no-doubt zone or not. In the no-doubt zone, you break free of your trances so you can be who you need to be to create what you want in your business, your brand, and your life. Dr. K has over 30 years' experience as a clinical psychotherapist, speaker, author, business and branding consultant, and mentor specializing in working with the top 1%, the influencers, paradigm shifters, the ones who are different, the ones who want more. She works with leaders globally through private mentoring and has shared her wisdom and know-how through her rapid wealth system, shattering financial limitations, getting what you want when the world says no, power connecting with social media programs, and power branding clinics. Dr. Caslow has been interviewed and featured in major media, including the New York Times, WNBC, WABC, New York Magazine, and has had dozens of her articles published and is an author of a book on adoption law. And Dr. K, I have to tell you, we've been friends for over 10 years now. And
wow.
We first met at a marketing conference in San Francisco, and I absolutely loved all of these things that she does and asked her to speak at one of my live conferences, and she ended up speaking at a couple of those. I have interviewed her numerous times on my radio shows over the years, and now I'm really excited about this topic because we're going to be talking about the no doubt zone in terms of harnessing the mindset of the top 1% and maximizing and monetizing your business, brand, and social media. So putting it all together for you. So Dr. K, I'm so excited to dig into this information today and happy to have you here.
Well, I'm so excited that you're interviewing me and we get to dig into this together. But before we start, I'd like to tell the audience something about you. And yes, we've known each other, and we think about it over 10 years, and we've worked together on a number of projects and, you know, quite a few interviews, and you've spoken at your summits, actually, several times. So to say a little bit about you, Lynn Pierce is the author of Breakthrough to Success, 19 Keys to Mastering Every Area of Your Life. She founded the first major event for women information entrepreneurs. It was called the Women's Business Empowerment Summit, and that actually went back to 2004. So beginning with her highly acclaimed personal manifesto process, Lynn guides entrepreneurs to live an empowered and ageless lifestyle by combining proven business and personal development processes for the mind, the body, and the soul. So Lynn is an author over these years of more than a dozen books. She's also created and hosted Success Blueprint Radio and Ageless Lifestyle Radio. Lynn has shared the stage with some of the world's most noteworthy mentors on success, such as Brendan Burchard, Barbara DeAngelis, Jack Canfield, Stedman Graham, Mark Victor Hansen, Robert Allen, Joe Polish, Kevin Nations, Paul Langmire, and many more. We could go on. In addition, Lynn has appeared in War Magazine, Oprah.com, Good Housekeeping, Vows Magazine, First for Women, International Living, and Mentors Magazine. She's currently living in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, with her two small rescue dogs, Bodhi and Yuki. So this is exciting to bring your know-how to this interview and your perception, and I'm eager to hear the questions that you've got for me today, so let's jump in.
Okay. Well, the first, I think, most obvious question is, how did a clinical psychotherapist / business consultant / mentor come to be an expert in business branding and social media? Because that sounds like a lot.
You know, people often have that reaction, like, how did a clinical psychotherapist end up a business consultant or an expert in branding and social media? And yet, it's really, to me, makes most sense. I always say, who better than a psychotherapist to deal with things that have at their core relationship, that have at their core connection. But if I go back to where it started, from the time I was really young, I was always helping people who were stuck in some way. And I actually started tutoring back in the second grade. And by high school, I had a tutoring business, not just a practice. This, over years through college, graduate school, evolved into my private practice and later into my opening one of the first health and business centers in the country, which was in New York City. It was a health and business center for integrative health and business approaches. So while I was doing that, I was also always involved in marketing, sales, and fascinated by business and what makes people succeed. Now, my dad had been, he'd been a small business owner, and both of my grandfathers had the entrepreneurial spirit. I actually think there's an entrepreneurial gene. And so where other people looked at therapy as simply a practice, working with their patients, I looked at it as that, but I also looked at it through a business lens. And while I watched many of my colleagues struggle to build their practices, to build their what I see as a business, I had a business and marketing lens. And so my practice grew very, very quickly, and then later my center. And along the way, a number of things happened. So in addition to growing my practice, which was something I loved and had always been, you know, I was a teacher, I was a salesperson. In fact, when I was about 20, I was a salesperson and teacher for an educational company. And it was, you know, it was kind of fun because I was about 20 years old and I was tied for number one salesperson in the country. And I know that kind of something that you did very young as well. So I was always loving business as well as loving teaching and doing therapy. So that was the backdrop, that was the lens. And along the way in my practice, one of the things that stood out to me was not only looking at my colleagues who were struggling, but my patients. So I had patients who were doctors, health professionals, and other entrepreneurs, and they were struggling. In fact, they had come in to see me for therapy because they were depressed and anxious. And many of them had worked with people to build their business, to build their practice. They didn't look at it as a business unless they were an entrepreneur, and then they did. And they were stymied. They didn't understand why they were stuck. They didn't understand the need for working both with how they were holding themselves back, what their personal issues were, as well as having the know-how for success in business. For we didn't use the term marketing when I started. We didn't use the term branding. And we didn't have social media when I started working with these health professionals and other entrepreneurs, but we did. It was clear to me that they needed to brand themselves, they needed to have a niche, and they needed to think not only as a doctor or a health professional or whatever their expertise as an entrepreneur was, but they needed to start to think about somebody who was a successful business person. They needed to evolve into that, and they needed to pay attention to their branding, to their niche, to their communications. It was a whole package.
Well, that does make a lot of sense, and I can see how you having that very specific lens probably helped your patients and your clients quite a bit grow their businesses. Was that a surprise to you in the beginning that you were not only helping them with what they came in for, but you found that you had this talent to help them grow their businesses exponentially and take things to the next level?
You know, it's funny because it was a surprise, and maybe it shouldn't have been such a surprise because I was already working with colleagues and helping them to build their businesses, but it was pretty surprising to have my patients come in and they tried different things and to have them so affected. And to see, you know, I knew it. I was one of the people who was an early pioneer in mind-body health back at a time when that was considered like voodoo. People were either in the camp of psychology, therapy, or it was physical health. It was medicine. They didn't put the two together. I mean, you talked about mind-body health, which everybody today would be thinking, you know, really? Of course, mind-body health. The two affect each other. The only correlation people gave validation when I started my holistic integrative perspective was that they understood that stress was bad for your health. But beyond that, they didn't understand the things that we take for granted today. So on the one hand, it was really surprising. On the other hand, it was just taking that same lens that I'd learned. We need an integrative approach. You can't just take somebody. For example, I would work with people and somebody would come in and they'd have a bad back. And you could work with things that were affecting their back. But if you didn't change what the way they were sitting, standing, if they didn't get to see a chiropractor, or my husband was an acupuncturist, if you didn't actually work on the physicality as well, you could keep changing the factors that were making them throw their back out. That were literally, you know, that pain in the neck, pain in the back. Because now a lot of people certainly accept how much back pain is affected by our emotions. But if you did it only through psychology, you could keep fixing them and fixing them and fixing them, and it didn't hold. So you had to get to the core of the mental, emotional issues, but you also had to deal with whatever was going on at a physical level. So that was really clear to me. What was more of that surprise was seeing that somebody could go and study with top coaches, with top mentors and consultants, and they weren't making it happen. And these were smart people. And so I started to delve really deeply, and I saw that you needed that same integrative understanding, which had to do with the psychology of success, as well as having to do with knowing, you know, the concrete, how to market, how to brand, how to do your media. And that's something that was not looked at in that way at the time. It's still not really looked at. In fact, you know, you and I have had conversations about this, that people look at mindset and try and do it in a vacuum. And you can't change somebody's mindset. You can't have them meditate to success without taking certain actions. They've got to understand how to market their business. They need to understand how social media operates. They need to understand a lot of those, you know, technical aspects of building a business. So it's not just meditating, it's not just mindset, and it's not just business. It's putting those two together.
Which is the perfect place to ask you, what is the no doubt zone all about, and why specifically the psychology of the 1%?
Okay, no doubt zone actually came about in a fun way. I was doing what I do. I was talking about it as shattering limitations, but some colleagues were always, you know, who I talked to a lot, would listen to me, and they would say that when I created my most powerful results, I would use the words no doubt. And it wasn't that there was no doubt in the situation. There was a level of commitment, conviction, clarity, connection, and action that always went along. When I would come into this literally a zone, a state. And so I started to study even more deeply, because I've studied success for, you know, for decades, but I started studying even more deeply people like Elon Musk, Sheryl Sandberg, Steve Jobs. I started to study myself and my colleagues. When did we have the greatest success? And I started looking at my clients and my patients. So when were we the most successful? And it was clear that it was when we went into a state that I'm calling the no doubt zone. And what happens is that successful people they'll kind of flip into it sometimes. They'll move into it. One of the things that gets them stuck at whatever level of success, or to not have the success in every arena of their life, is that they slip into it, but they don't know how to get into it at will in the toughest arena. So, you know, you could say, well, I could get into it here. And that phrase that people say all the time that I really disagree with, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And it's not true. People can really excel if they're on the stage, but maybe they don't excel when they're writing a book, or somebody can excel when they're in an intimate situation, or they can excel at paperwork and details, but not at something else. And it's interesting that this is persistent in light of the fact that so many people talk about what's your superpower. We still insist that the way people do one thing is the way they do everything. And so what I found is it's not true at all. And we slip into that zone if we're successful. So I've studied a lot about the mindset of the 1%. And there are differences, but some of the most consistent things is that they are committed, they're determined, They look at things not by limitations, but they look at things through a different perspective, except when they're stuck and not in the no-doubt zone. So to me, what's key is to take the best characteristics of the one percenters, not the ones where they trip themselves up. And we don't have time to go into that today. That's a whole other discussion that is really important. It's fascinating and really important. But the no-doubt zone is that place where we're clear, we're committed, we're resilient, adaptable, we're congruent, and we take that consistent action to get to our goal. It's really that state of deepest connection with ourselves and others. So that's the no-doubt zone, and that is the state that produces the greatest success, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in creating your health, whether it's in business partnerships, or anything that we've decided we want to do. And it's a place where people are, it's like if you say to me, what does that look like? You know, clarity and commitment, all of those things can sound like these ideas. What does it look like? What it looks like in a person is they're mentally and emotionally tough. They adapt. They're open and actually willing. It's not about willpower and pushing, because you can't willpower somebody into this. But they're open and willing to evolve into who you need to be to create what you want. So those are the characteristics. And the 1%, people will say to me, you know, are you only talking about money? No, it's not only about money. Money is a factor for many people, but it's way more than that. The 1% are people who are, they're about impact. They're about making a difference. And they're about seeing things through until they're here and they actually fulfill whatever their mission is, whatever is most important to them in their life.
So when you were talking about that, the way you do one thing is not the way you do everything, that's a myth, is this psychology that the 1% have, that when they're in the no-doubt zone, does that have something to do with their passion about that particular topic that takes them outside of the theory of the way you do one thing is the way you do everything? Is that how they move beyond that norm and get into what you're calling their superpower? Or what motivates that? How do they exceed that level?
Okay, that is such a great question. For some people, it is about their passion for whatever, you know, they feel their mission is here to accomplish, whatever that is. For other people, they're really wired up that they're going to make a difference. And it's not even about one thing. It's about making a difference. So in a way, they are, again, they're passionate about that. I do think that there's certain characteristics of the 1%. So I think we've got two aspects. On the one hand, we've got their why. And on the other hand, we've got their what, their superpower. So you've got that, I'm doing this because I want to, I want to, you know, get people to be aware of how much they're capable of doing. I want people to be aware that if they're not living their life most fully and accomplishing what they're here to accomplish, they're actually kind of killing themselves off a bit. I want people to know, and this is talking about me, I want people to know that we fall into these trances and we hold ourselves back, and we can stop that, and we can actually break free of our inner resistances and obstacles and create pretty much whatever we want. So there's a what, but then there's a why. There's the why, but there's also the what. And I think this is where it's interesting. There are some people that are wired up more than others to keep going, to be consistent, to think outside of the box, to stand up in a different way and be visible. Now, so I know you, and you could say to me, so does that mean if you're not born that way, you're doomed, right? No. It means that we can learn from watching those behaviors. And you don't have to be somebody else. In fact, you can't be somebody else. But you can learn. So if we see that 1%ers tend to go, I don't even want to say the extra mile, because it's way more than the extra mile. They tend to follow through on their commitment. They persevere. They look outside of the box. In fact, you know, 1%ers will often say to you, what box? People that want to be able to take control and really create their life and harness that psychology, they can learn how to do those things. And it's not going to look like whoever it is. You're not going to look like Elon Musk. You're not going to look like me. They're not going to look like you. They're not going to look like Steve Jobs or, you know, whoever it is that they're looking at. But they are going to look like themselves, and they can learn to figure out the best path for themselves to become that to get into that state, which is a no-doubt zone, which then enables them to create what they want in their business and their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So let's talk about specifically maximizing and monetizing your business, your brand, and social media. And can we look at what each of those are and how they're affected by being in the no-doubt zone or not being in the no-doubt zone?
Yeah, I love that. In fact, I love doing when I do a workshop or a talk and it's about no doubt zone for business or no doubt zone branding or no doubt zone in social media. So let's take the first one because the first one is really very close to what we've been talking about so far. And that is how to be the most successful, you know, how to be in the no doubt zone in business. And this is where we get to principles of success. And there's a lot of great people, you know, have written great things about principles of success. The ones that I want to point to are the ones that we talked about in terms of no doubt zone and getting clear, getting committed, getting congruent. That's just bottom line. So if you're committed, then you're going to do the things that you need to do to understand your market, to understand how to set up your business, how to choose the right mentors. One of the things that I see is so many people, they take many courses, they work with many consultants, and they're scratching their heads if they're not pulling their hair out, saying, why aren't I more successful? Or successful people, because I, you know, who I tend to work with in my private mentoring are these people who are already really successful, and yet there's this next thing that they've always wanted to do that they haven't been able to do yet. Or their business is great, but their relationships aren't so great, or their health. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is that business problems are often not business problems. Now, I know that can sound really strange because somebody will say, well, but that's not true. I can't get enough leads for my business, or I get all these leads and I don't convert. Of course, that's a business problem. So I want to be really clear. It's true. It is a business problem. Yet, it's not the core. And so if you solve that business problem, which you need to, okay, you're never going to hear me say, get into the no-doubt zone and stop. I'm going to say when you're in the no-doubt zone, then you can do what you need to do to make your business succeed. Then you can figure out where the problems are in your business, where the problems are in your marketing, where your emails are not converting, where people walk into this, you know, if you've got a retail store where they're not buying, wherever it is, whatever kind of business you have. So the problems people present are real. They're totally going on. But if you stay focused on those in a vacuum, it's like that image where you plug up one hole and the next one pops up. So you plug up the hole of your lead generation. Now all of a sudden you've got all these leads coming into your business. And yet, strangely, now you're having a different problem. So it's not strange to me. What's happening is you're not getting at the core. And sometimes it's very interesting because what's looked like a business problem is really the intersection of, I'm not sure that my health will support me scaling my business fully. Or even an interpersonal one. I'm not sure that my brother won't feel bad if I'm more successful than he is, or my friend. So we have these other things, and we're not aware of them. They're actually trances that we're in. And so we need to work very concretely. We need to have our marketing. We need to have our business plan. We need to have all the things that make a successful business. And depending, some people want to be solopreneurs. Some people want to scale to a team. Whatever it is that you want, you need to make sure it's aligned for you. And you've got to be clear. If you're not clear, if you're not going to follow through, you know, we've all heard about all of these businesses that failed right before they might have just, you know, everything might have popped. I heard Seth Godin this morning, just a little bit of a tape I want to go back and listen to. I guess not tape, a download on online today. And he was talking about how he was successful because he's failed more times than other people. But he doesn't let it stop him. He just goes on to the next thing. So we've got to be in a position where failures or seeming failures just become that, they become the fuel or the jumping off point to our next level of success. So the business, no doubt, song, to do it, to get your plan right, to get your, to know when to grow, to know when to hold back, to know who your consultants are, who you should hire for your team, who you should let go of in your team, all of those things are most successful when you're in the no doubt zone. Now, we could talk about this for, you know, for a whole workshop for days. When I work with people privately, we work on this for, you know, a considerable period of time, depending on what their goal is. Often it's something that can be worked on for a year. But I think, does that give you an idea in terms of no doubt zone and how it impacts our business?
Yeah, and it really, really makes it clear the benefit of the background of being a clinical psychotherapist and how that allows you to offer so much more than your average, you know, mentor would be able to access, because you have completely different insights than what other people would have. But it brings up another question of what really is the biggest thing holding entrepreneurs back, big picture?
Okay, big picture. Big picture that holds us back is not knowing how to get into the no doubt zone at will. You can say, well, you know, it's kind of like we're talking about the no doubt zone. What exactly do you mean? So what exactly I mean is they don't know how to get into a state that they can then create from. And the state requires clarity. They don't know how to get clear. Okay, not only on the little detail, but on the big picture. They don't know how to follow through on their commitment. They don't know how to take consistent, aligned action, bold action. They don't know how to be connected all the time. And I don't mean all the time, like every second, but it's like to notice it and go back. So there are issues. There's always a disconnection. Whenever there is a lack of accomplishing something you want, there's a disconnection. It's with yourself. It's with your market. It's with your community. It's with your with source, spirit, however you hold that. There's always a disconnection. So the biggest thing that's holding people back is themselves. We fall into these trances. I call them trances. It's these spaces where we focus on one thing and we don't see all the rest of it. And, you know, you and I know, we've talked about that. We've seen it in our clients over the years. People will be so convinced of something, and you'll look at them and you'll say, but what about this? Now, one of the tricky things that I want to make sure we get into before we stop today is that one of the things about successful people that makes them more of a challenge to themselves and other coaches is that they do have this place where they get into, like, this no doubt, confident state, and they get other people to see things through their lens. So instead of the coach getting the clarity and bringing them into a new space, what will happen is they're so compelling and so convincing and so successful, and they know how to bring such a good argument. They may have, like, even gotten a lot of investors to follow, you know, to give them money, that, you know, that had a lot of clients. They've done so many things. They know how to present, and they're not doing it for a bad reason. They're doing it because the more successful you get, the more you have to lose. Okay, the more you have to gain, too, but the more you have to lose. So you hold on tight to what you have because you're afraid if you evolve into that next stage of who you are, you're going to lose, you know, what you have. And the truth is you will lose some things to get the next thing. You're not going to lose everything. And in a way, you're not really losing anything because it's just part of who you're becoming and what you're accomplishing next. But that's, you know, that's really important. Can I just mention briefly, I know we've got a couple of minutes. I just want to answer about No Doubt Zone and branding and social media and just give you a place to be paying attention to. No Doubt Zone branding is really important because if you're not in this clear, aligned, committed state, people are going to get it. So they're going to know it. They're going to smell it out. So, and also you're going to get it, and you're not going to be as powerful in building your business as comfortable. You may even give it up because you feel like a fake. So for branding, it's really important that you've got that alignment, the clarity, the commitment, the connection, because if you don't have that, you're going to have huge branding I don't even want to call them mistakes. It's like your branding is there's going to be branding fails, where if you're in that zone, while you may have, you know, what Seth Godin might have talked about as these failures, you've maintained that authenticity. You've maintained something that is going to just keep that trust developing, and you'll be able to continue to grow and make your brand more and more powerful. Social media is that other place now where if you're not in that no doubt zone of clarity and connection and congruence, other people are going to see it. So not only are they not going to, they might follow you, but they're not going to engage. They're not going to refer. They're going to know something is wrong, and you're going to know it. So it's a very interesting thing. When you're not in the no doubt zone, your social media is not going to be as powerful. When people look at what makes something go viral, and they always say it's not a formula, it's usually when somebody is in that zone and they've connected with something that people are struggling with. So they bring that no doubt zone to a problem that a lot of people care about.
So how can people get into the no doubt zone, and is it necessary for them to have a mentor to learn how to do that?
You know, it's another really good question and important question. And I don't want to give a formula answer. In general, highly successful people have mentors. 1%ers have mentors. And they often have more than one mentor. I've had, you know, more than one mentor at a time. Because there just are things that you can't see, you can't do, you're not an expert in. And even when you are, when you want to go to that next step. So I always tell people, look at how close are you to your goal? How tightly are you holding on to where you are now? How much have you tried to change it? And how quickly do you want to grow? So if you really want to grow faster, you want to do something that is really important to you, a mentor is going to help you get there quicker. And sometimes it'll be the difference between getting there at all, getting there or not getting there. So the other thing about a mentor is that you need a mentor who knows how to get into the no-doubt zone at will and to teach other people to do it. And it's very rare to see somebody do that in an integrated way. They tend to do it a little bit here, a little bit there. And the other trap is that they tend to tell you how to do it in a way that's worked for them. And if I can say anything, it's that we need to be integrated. We need a perspective that takes in our whole person, but we also need individualization. What works for me isn't going to work for you, isn't going to work for our listeners. Everybody needs something. There are principles, but there's not a simple formula that works for everybody. So a mentor is going to make this happen in a way more powerful way. But that doesn't mean that if you can't afford a mentor tomorrow or don't have somebody, you know, right now, like you kind of put that off and say, well, I can't get into the zone. I can't do anything. There are things you can do right now that will start to shift that. So a couple of those. First of all, start to make a commitment to yourself that you want to notice, not judge. Okay, we're going to do things in terms of discernment. Judgment is going to stop you in your tracks. But to notice, commit to noticing when you're not clear, when you're not aligned, when your energy starts to go kind of weak, and then learn to shift it. So just noticing is going to be a huge, huge step. And it's something I recommend to people at every step. This is not just for beginners. I just did a 7-day challenge with a friend, and we said, okay, we were going to pay attention to issues because I believe that we resolve issues and then we get a chance to resolve them and grow deeper, grow bigger, grow deeper, and continue to evolve. So I said, okay, I'm going to take a look at some of these core issues and just notice. So just noticing without judgment is a huge first step. You mentioned the Casual Anchor. That's a resource on my website. It's under resources. That's a great little technique that in 10 seconds or less will shift any state you're in. The thing is that you have to be willing to shift it. Not pushing, not willpower. You've got to be willing. So that's a great thing, and you just have to be willing to do it. And so, you know, a lot of people come to me and say, I know you do private mentoring. Is there anything available? There are resources, you know, reading articles, listening to podcasts that I'm doing will help. Listen to podcasts of people that are where you want to be will help. But I'm also in the process of making some programs available for people who can't afford to work with me privately. And so if that's something, either working with me privately or if group programs or even programs that I'll be doing for a wider audience or something that's interesting to you, send me an email. And also, I want to invite you to send me an email with your reactions to what we talked about today, any questions that you have. You've heard me mention that word connection a lot, and I do want to connect, and I do want to help you to make the difference you're here to make. So share with me what your takeaways were, share with me your questions, and share with me things that you feel would be helpful and that you'd like to see offered.
Well, Dr. K, you read my mind, because that was the next thing I was going to ask you was, how do people get in touch with you if they want to work with you, if they want to get clarification on any of this? And you said email, so if you'd like to go ahead and give them the email address that you'd like them to use, I think that's
okay.
The last thing we're going to talk about here.
So the email address is drk@drkazlow.com, drkazlow.com. For any of you not in your pencil or who didn't get to write that down, you probably, if you're on this call, you probably have been to my website. There's a contact page there. You can just send me an email from there. Or you can go to nodoubtzone.com, and that'll take you to my website directly and the contact page there. There's a contact page there. Lynn, this has been so fun. There's so much more material that we can talk about, and we probably should. I think, what do you think? This is a lot to digest for one time?
I think it is. I think we've covered a lot of ground that will give people a really great introduction to the No Doubt Zone, the psychology of the 1%, how to maximize and monetize this in their business and their brand and their social media. And so I think this is probably a good place for us to end this conversation. But yes, I think it might be something that we could do an ongoing series of conversations about helping people to get in the No Doubt Zone and introduce them to more of the insights that you have on this topic. Because for me, as you answered these questions, it was so clear to see how your knowledge of being a clinical psychotherapist really, really helps with all of these other things having to do with business, that it's a perfect fit. So I would encourage people to go to your website or send you an email. And thank you so much for being here with us today. This has been wonderful.
And thank you. Thank you so much for interviewing me. This has been great. You always ask great questions, and I know that these are things that are in people's mind, questions that they have. And what's exciting to me is that they can just listen to this. They can take some of the things we talked about, and they can start shifting right now today. They don't have to wait for anything else. They can start making those changes and harnessing some of that power of the No Doubt Zone and the 1% right now to accomplish whatever it is that's most important to them. Thank you so much, Lynn.
You're welcome, and thank you again for being our guest. So this is Lynn Pierce saying goodbye for now.